Hey, listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scanlon. You guys all probably know by now that we have the Gym Owners Growth Summit coming up at the end of September, September 27th to the 29th. This is a free 3-day online event. So we're going to be covering everything from operations to marketing to finances. This is all geared towards the gym owner, and this is a free event. If you guys have not signed up for this yet, please block off your calendar and do that now. You can find this at gymownersgrowthsummit.com. You need to absolutely be in this thing. I can't even make a comparison for what this would look like as an in-person event. I can't even tell you what this would cost because, honestly, there's no way in the world that all of these people would ever be in the same room at the same time. We could just never schedule it accordingly. So by doing this thing virtually, we're actually able to get just some incredible minds in our industry in the same sort of digital room, so to speak. So, again, Gym Owners Growth Summit. .com to go ahead and reserve your spot for that. I really don't see any reason why you wouldn't do this. So, I know that you've probably seen a lot of the ads that we've put out for this thing. We've talked about it quite a bit. And I am super excited that we've been able to get people to come and be a part of this. People like Chris Spieler and Jason Kalipa and Ben Bergeron. We have Z from Barbells for Boobs. We have Julie Fouché. We have Stuart Brower. We have Carl Paoli. We have Jim Crowell and James Fitzgerald from OPEX. There's just some incredible people that are coming on to this thing. We've got CJ Martin from Invictus. You know all of these people. Now, I think sometimes it's difficult for us as gym owners, and especially in the CrossFit and micro gym space, our world tends to be pretty small and insular. You know, meaning sort of the quote-unquote celebrities that we look up to in sort of the CrossFit and fitness space, they're doing some amazing things. But what I want to do today is highlight the people that maybe in our tiny microcosm of business, they may not be names that we recognize, but these are people that you absolutely need to tune into because these are people and brands that sort of in the outside, non-exercise, non-fitness world, these people command audiences in the millions, and so it's cool and it's difficult because these are people you guys probably haven't heard of, but they're people that if you are interested in business or interested in leadership or you're interested in marketing at all, these are people that you absolutely need to pay attention to. The first of these people is Hobie Darling. Hobie Darling probably has accomplished more in less years than many people you will ever hear speak. So Hobie worked at Volcom, the apparel company, then went on, worked his way up through the ranks right after getting his degree, and was a general manager for Nike Plus, their digital innovation group for Nike. And then got a call from Skullcandy in Park City to be their CEO. So there's a great article about Hobie in Fortune magazine that if you want to get to know him a little bit better, that is one that you absolutely, absolutely need to tune into. This guy has been super successful at really turning around the culture in many very large companies. I mean, we're talking companies that would make the largest and most successful CrossFit gyms out there pale in comparison. So tune into Hobie's talk. It's right at the beginning of the first day. Totally recommend that you check that one out. Another one, a friend of mine actually, Sarah Ney, is the Vice President of Operations for Duct Tape Marketing. Duct Tape Marketing, if you don't know, is the small business marketing firm in the country, actually in the world. They're doing work internationally right now. So she's talking about your customer journey. Again, this is, I mean, Duct Tape Marketing does small business marketing for so many clients. I mean, their reach is so much broader than than sort of our small microcosm of the fitness world. So that's somebody you really should know, and that's a talk that you need to tune into, and one that we are incredibly fortunate to be hosting here. And lastly, I want to point out this is Josh is actually a part of our team here at 321 Go, but he also has an incredible search engine optimization and social media marketing firm called Ember Tribe. And Ember Tribe is dealing with doing marketing for clients that have $100,000 monthly ad spend. So he is big in this space and is very used to scaling up marketing. And he is the guy when it comes to Facebook ad questions. So for today's episode, we're going to revisit a discussion that we've had with Josh in the past about Facebook advertising and a little bit into more broad-based social media marketing. So enjoy today's episode. This would be a great opportunity because each of these speakers are going to give you the opportunity to ask them some questions at the end of their presentation. So as you listen to today's show, I recommend you give yourself a little social media marketing audit from what you've learned in today's show, and then jot those questions down. Josh's presentation will be in the afternoon of the first day of the Gym Owners Growth Summit. You can find the schedule online. You can go ahead and claim your spot. This is a free event. Again, there's really no chance that we would ever have all of these people in the same room for an in-person event, but we managed to get them all together for this event. So gymownersgrowthsummit.com, claim your spot. And again, as you listen to today's episode, jot down some questions you may have, and we'll get your Facebook marketing game cleaned up and in the Q&A with Josh. Enjoy this show. Please, if you like this show, if you listen to it every week, this is a free show, free information. Happy to bring all of these people on and bring you this show. Do us a favor. Share this. Listeners that don't know, Josh is
head over to iTunes Ember Tribe
and leave us a review.
Josh, will you explain to us a little bit about what you guys are doing over at Ember Tribe?
Yeah, sure. So we are a digital advertising agency. So we spend a lot of time in Google AdWords and Facebook advertising. And we tend to help a lot of companies in tech, but that doesn't mean that's our only client base. And so we have built the agency to a team of about 7 or 8. We're coming up on our year anniversary here in November, and we are distributed. So we try to keep everything lean. And that means lean results for our clients too. But yeah, we're a digital advertising agency.
I dig it, Josh. So you've been around the 321 Go family for quite some time now. You've created a couple courses in on our hub platform, which we'll get to in a second. But just kind of so you understand gyms, you know, through 321 Go project So here's a question: is there a difference in digital advertising for a tech company and a gym, or are there principles that carry over across the two?
Yeah, the beauty of digital advertising is that, you know, what happens or what works on a large scale also does tend to work on a smaller scale. So the same principles, the same approaches to finding your audience or writing a good ad or having a good hook for people to raise their hand and say they want to do business, that's universal, and it really doesn't matter what industry you're in.
I dig it, Josh. So let's talk about some of the courses that you've created for us on the Hub platform. My favorite by far, I've gone through it twice now, is your SEO course, your search engine optimization course. And honestly, man, I've had really awesome results from it, which I am super stoked about. I think I went from number 4 in my organic search results to a very commanding number 1 at the moment.
All right.
It took, you know, I would say it probably took 9 months to get there, but it was a long tail approach.
It's like having a baby. It's like having a baby. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly like having a Google baby. So,
well, that's frightening.
So, Josh, what can somebody who goes onto the Hub platform and takes your search engine optimization course expect to see?
Yeah, so I think the key kind of tenet of the SEO course is that, you know, there's two groups of people that you want to be able to reach, right? So there's the first ones who they're already looking for CrossFit in your area. And, you know, if you're not showing up for CrossFit Boston or CrossFit your city, like, you're missing out. You're basically handing over new members to your competitors. And that's, I mean, that shouldn't be happening. So you got to get found for what people are already looking for. And that's the power, right? Is like, when people are already looking for a CrossFit box, like, you want to be there. You want to be number one. It's like getting the first handshake almost. But the second group of people is the folks that they want the results that CrossFit can bring, but they don't really have the language yet to search for CrossFit. And that's where, as you found, Matt, there's a lot of opportunity, you know, to look for people who are searching for ways to stay active in your area, or ways, you know, how do I lose weight, or just they're really going for that end result and they don't even know about CrossFit yet. And had they known about it, they might have searched for it, but they didn't. And I'd say probably 80 to 90% of the people, so thousands of people, even in your backyard, fall into that camp. And so that's the other way that you can kind of attract new members to your gym.
So, Josh, I want to talk to you about something that I learned from your course, and I've had really good results with not only ranking, but actually sales now. I'm starting to see some of these come in. But in your course, you talk a little bit about how to use, sorry if I don't know the exact terminology, but you can see the volume at which people are searching for certain terms related to your business on Google. Explain that. Mm-hmm. Explain that tool just a little bit to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I joke around. We call it, you know, the Google mind reading tool. So, I mean, essentially what you're describing is called keyword research. And it's really just, it's about being able to see what types of things people are searching for. So every time you go into Google and you search for something, Google keeps track of that. And then so you, as somebody who's doing SEO or somebody who wants to advertise, you can see all the different things that people are searching for, and then kind of like the estimates of how frequent or how popular those searches are. And you can even get as specific as saying, you know, in my city or in my state, how popular, what are the different things that people are searching for? And it's powerful, because if you already know, this is the mind reading part, if you already know what people want, all you have to do is give it to them in a compelling way. And the better you do that, the higher you rank. And you're getting found by people who have what we call really, really strong intent to do business with you, because they've described it through their search.
So the thing that I actually learned that was wildly surprising for me, Josh, is that people weren't searching for a CrossFit gym. They weren't looking for an affiliate at all. At a very low volume were they actually looking for those things. What they were looking for is a CrossFit workout at home. Bodyweight CrossFit exercises to do at home. Mm-hmm. So I realized that people were actually looking to adopt the methodology without the intimidation of stepping into the gym. So through seeing, oh golly, like people, way more people are looking for this than are looking to step foot in a gym. What if I strictly focused all of my marketing and advertising efforts on giving people at-home workouts, allowing people to interact with my brand for free through body weight and travel exercises? And this has been probably the strongest lead generation initiative that I've had of all time. And I'm essentially telling people, hey, you don't actually need to come to my gym, which in a million years, I never would have thought that was the case.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I love that. I mean, it really comes down to knowing your audience, right? You have to know the reasons why people won't come into your gym. And if fear of the unknown, or just not being able to speak the language, you know, quote unquote, if that's a big deal, then that's a brilliant way to solve that. And I think that's one of the huge positives of being able to do keyword research, which we teach in the course, is, you know, understand, get into the mind of the people that you're trying to reach. And then that's a great takeaway. Hey, they're looking for at-home stuff. So let's pivot and let's respond and let's create a strategy that can give them what they want.
So cool, man. So you have another short little module that you've tacked on to your SEO course, search engine optimization, and it's called pay-per-click, or, you know, PPC for short. Explain to the listeners just a little bit about what is involved in that course.
Sure, definitely. So what we do, maybe it's best to contrast it with the SEO. So SEO is getting a ranking in those natural search results. So just place 1 through 10, you do a Google search, the stuff that comes up, that's how you rank. And you don't have to pay for that, right? So you can just show up there naturally. But it takes, as you described, it takes a long time. It can take a very long time depending on what you're trying to rank for. So the way that Google makes all of their money, and I mean literally like $80 billion a year, is through search advertising. And so if you want to skip the line and go right to the top of the search results, like immediately, let's say you're a new gym and you don't have 9 months to spend, you know, to start letting SEO kick in for you. Pay-per-click or search advertising, which is the name of the product, is actually Google AdWords. That allows you to skip the line and go right to the top. So it's a very similar approach, except you're going to be spending advertising dollars to get there, and you're going to pay per click. So anytime somebody clicks on your ad, you pay, which is a great deal for an advertiser, because then you're not, it's not like printing out 1,000 flyers and then maybe 3 people see them, but you paid for the 1,000 flyers. You know, with pay-per-click, you're able to only pay for people who click on your link, come to your website, and see what it is that you have to offer. So even though you're spending money, it's still an effective way and an efficient way to advertise.
And you're able to, correct me if I'm wrong, set how much one click is worth to you.
You are. So there's this whole, you got to think about it kind of like an auction. So, you know, those crazy auctioneers who are like, blah, 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 $1, $1. You know, like you think about just one massive auction happening, and you're able to really bid what you're willing to pay per click. And of course, Google will make it easy and just say, just set it to autopilot and we'll handle that for you. That's fine too, but don't be surprised if you end up paying a little bit more. So the point is that you can control your budget. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and have spent $10,000 and be like, oh my gosh, what happened? You can control how much you're going to spend, and then you can say even, you know, how much is a click really worth to me?
And so from the gym owner's perspective, we're actually going to I don't want to jump too far forward, but later on in the conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about return on investment for paying for advertising and how to measure that. But what I'm trying to do right now as we're talking about pay-per-click on Google is think through some hypothetical scenarios. So me as the gym owner, let's say every time somebody comes in to do an introductory session in my gym, I probably want to be asking that person, how did you hear about us? And let's say it is Google is how they heard about me. Then what I can do is like maybe look at a 3-month period and say, of the 30 people that joined my gym in these 3 months, 8 of them cited Google as how they found me. And then I can look at my Google ad spend during those times and realize, okay, for getting 8 people to join, I had to spend this much. Is that how we go about? So is that how you go about tracking the effectiveness of this?
Yeah. So it's a great question, and it's going to depend on people's setup. But I'll tell you, let me describe the ideal, and then maybe I'll describe like a less ideal, but something that works. So the ideal is that you would set up your tracking. And, you know, typically, let's just take like an onboarding, right? Or somebody who wants to come into the gym for a free consultation, whatever it might be. Your ideal setup is to have 2 pages. One is where people put in their information. They say, this is who I am. Here's my phone number. Here's my information. The second one is what we call a thank you page. And that's what people get redirected to after they fill out a form. And the reason why we like a thank you page is the only way to get to that page is if you filled out the form. So you know that anybody visiting that page has become a lead. And what we can do is it's a real small little snippet of code. Anybody, you don't have to be a programmer to do it. You can paste that code onto the thank you page and it'll tell Google, hey, this generated a lead. So what you get from your reports is amazing. You can see this keyword brought in this click, which resulted in this lead for this amount of money. And when you can measure that all in one place, it's powerful. They actually even have call tracking too. So even if people don't become a lead through your website, you can set it up so that if they click on a mobile device, your phone number, you're able to get that call recorded and that lead recorded. So you have a really nice report. It's very transparent and you can understand even without asking somebody what it would cost. So that's the ideal, right? The poor man's way of doing that Does it make sense to go there, Matt? Maybe it's just
yes. But so what I want to do is before you go and talk about the poor man's way of getting there, is I want to juxtapose this with the idea. So essentially, what we're talking about is analytics. How effective are these efforts? Juxtapose with your example previously of printing 1,000 flyers and wondering what happened with them. You know, like wondering how many people mm-hmm. looked at this. Did they come in as a result of these flyers? And now we're actually able to pull these reports, is what you're saying, and say, oh, this, like you said, this keyword yielded this many email addresses. Is that where you're kind of going with this?
That's it. Picture the type of tracking that you wish you had for every other marketing activity you've ever done, and you wish that you could measure down to the cent that you spent what it did for you. And that's what you're getting here, is you're getting a very clear view of what's working for you and what's paying off. And that's why people refer to this whole discipline as like performance marketing or measurable marketing, is that there's a nice, real clear link to the money you put in and then the money that you get out.
So, and you had talked about the poor man's way of doing this. What is the poor man's way of pay-per-click?
So I was referring more to the, I guess, more to the way to measure how it's going. And I think what you started to describe can work fine, right? You know, I think one thing that gets in people's way is that if you try to be too overly scientific sometimes, you never actually take action. So I see a lot of, you know, owners, and they want to get everything just perfect. They want to make sure they can track everything down to the cent, and then they never actually advertise, never run the thing. And that's not doing anybody any good. So there's ways to do it. I mean, you could look at your advertising spend over the course of a month, and you could poll people, like you said, and ask, where did you find us? Another way to do it is just to only run one type of offer on that channel, so that you know, hey, if we got 10 on-ramp folks this month and we're only advertising that on AdWords, we know that we got 10 leads. And then you can do your math. Oh, I spent, you know, $1,000 or whatever it might be. So, yeah, just really it's almost like doing a radio thing and setting up a phone number.
Exactly. Josh, do you have a coupon code for Ember Tribe that we can
Not quite. Nope.
So, now, this may just be way out of left field because we're starting to talk about return on investment, customer acquisition costs. Do you have rough numbers of the, you know, category of businesses to what they could expect to pay for a lead, let's say? Or is this one of these unanswerable questions?
Yeah, you know what? I hate that that feels like a cop out to me when it says it depends or it's unanswerable. So let me try to get there. I will say that it varies wildly between industries. I want to give you an example of that in a second, but it also depends on your backyard. And really what's driving all that variance is the competition, you know, because remember, you're in an auction. So if you're in a really competitive industry where people are willing to spend a lot of money to acquire a lead, those costs are going to be astronomically high. You know, an example of that is personal injury lawyers. So it's not uncommon for personal injury lawyers to pay $300 per click on an ad, which is just really high. But they're getting seven-figure settlements, so that drives the cost up. But the other factor is, you know, do you service an area? Are you in, you know, greater Boston and there's tons of personal injury lawyers there? Like, that's going to amplify it even more. So I'd say for CrossFit, like, let's bring it down to CrossFit or like a gym business. First, think about how competitive it is in your backyard. Do you have other people who are in the auction bidding against you? That's one factor. The other factor is, you know, what's kind of the general litmus test for gyms? It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I can say that there's a lot of local businesses who are paying, you know, $10 per lead, and then there's some that are paying $100 per lead. It just really depends on their area. But Matt, I know that personally you've run some of these ads, so I'm not sure what you're willing to share, but does that sound in the ballpark for you? What is your experience?
Yeah, it definitely is. What I think about it is I tend to look at I like a lot of data personally, so I know on average how long somebody's going to stick around my gym. I know about what their total spend will be in their lifetime of my business, and so as far as like lead generation. I've got your email address, your first and last name. For me, that's somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, I would say $5 to $10 for an email address. And then I kind of know of those email addresses that I gather, probably, let's say 10% of those people turn into clients. So at the end of the day, if it comes to, let's say, under $100 when somebody then becomes a member of the gym, that will be a reasonable spend over the course of the lifetime that they come in. My return on that investment, the profits that I see from that membership, will outweigh that customer acquisition cost by a long shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, generally speaking, I like to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, I prefer like $40 to $80, dollars, but being in such a seasonal business, that fluctuates throughout the year pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, let's switch gears just a little bit, because you recently were sort of the presenter on one of our weekly Momentum calls, and you were talking about Facebook advertising. And I certainly think that the tide is turning a little bit in our industry, where people are no longer shying away from this idea of Facebook advertising. But there seem to be a lot of questions around how to best go about it. So I'd like to maybe uncover some of this, you know, social media advertising, which for most of us is going to be Facebook or Instagram at this point. There are certainly other options, but let's just try and narrow our focus just a little bit. So I pulled some questions from the affiliate owners group on Facebook, and so I'm going to try and get some of these answered, because they seem to be the common questions people have. So let's just start off with boosted posts, because this is by far the easiest one to execute on. So I see the most discussion around it. I mean, you post something, I got my credit card on Facebook from my phone, it's just boost posts. And that seems to be the common practice. Talk to us about posts that would be appropriate to boost, and a call to action that would not be appropriate to use the boosted post function.
It's a great question. Yeah. So I liken boosted posts to like the impulse buy section in your grocery store. It's like that Snickers bar that's staring you in the face, or that pack of gum when you've got all your paleo groceries and you're checking out and you're like, ah, I'm just going to pick up. This is so easy. It's just right there. I can grab it. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the boost post, but it is a fast and easy way to get your content seen. And I think it's great if you have budget to run just really interesting content, right? So you did a blog post, maybe it's an at-home workout regimen for CrossFit, and you want to make sure that that gets seen. But there's no real, there's no real like lead generation mechanism behind it. You're just trying to make that first touch. You're trying to like touch people for the first time. A boosted post can be a great way to do that, or to make sure that all your followers see your stuff, because frankly, only about 4 to 6% of the people who like your Facebook page will ever see your normal posts. So for that, small numbers, you know, a good way to give a quick boost to some of your content, it's great. But I don't see boosted posts as being a great way to run the campaigns that we're talking about to generate, you know, new leads or new people that really want to come in to your gym and, you know, become a member.
So I'll give you an example of how I've begun using the boosted post. Again, I think of boosted posts like there's not a line from seeing a boosted post to becoming a member of a gym. It just is not – that person probably would like join my gym regardless. I view the boosted post as a slight little tipping point for somebody. So I think of it – this is how I teach the boosted post. It's saying – hey, Boston, we're doing cool stuff over here. And just like kind of like there's cool things going on. Like you're probably not going to join because you saw this, but on a more tangible level, when we run a specialty course that is new and novel and is something that my competition does not offer, I'll boost it, not with the intention. It's a program that's for my members only, So nobody's going to actually purchase anything through seeing that, but it's simply a matter of going, hey, guys, this gym's doing cool and unique things over here. Just put that in the back of your mind for later.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, and that's what we forget. I absolutely agree. Yeah, it's really what it is. It's awareness marketing. And, you know, one thing that we can get out of control with is just focusing on the lead, you know, focusing on direct response. But having an awareness campaign just to get your name out there, it does have value. And it's a, you know, dollar for dollar boosted posts are a great way to do that. So, yeah, I think that's a great strategy.
And to juxtapose that with maybe an inappropriate boosted post, you know, I always say, like, fundamental starts on Monday or on-ramp starts on Monday. Like, why does boosting that not work, Josh?
Or don't boost your workout of the day either. It's just not interesting to most people. You know, I think maybe the best way to talk about this is to talk about the alternative, which is the ad manager. And so, you know, if you're in Facebook even right now as you're listening to this and you want to go check this out, just click that down arrow up in the upper right of your screen and you're going to see an option to manage ads. So if you click that, Facebook will guide you like through a wizard to show you how to get started. But the ad manager is great because it gives you so much control over who's going to see your ads. And when you want to get specific about the people you want to reach, you want to use the ad manager because it's going to give you that level of control to say, you know, here's where I want to advertise, you know, to only people within 10 miles of my gym, you know, here are the demographics of the people I want to advertise to. And to be fair, Boosted Posts has a dumbed down version of that available, but the ad manager is a whole new world if you've never gone and checked that out. So yeah, when you're going to run any sort of lead generation type of campaign like that, that's where we recommend people start.
So let's talk about the ad manager and specifically audiences. I personally, I've come up with some strategies that work much better for me, but I do know as sort of a first-time Facebook advertiser, you look at all of the ways that you can narrow things down, and it's honestly, man, it is nauseating. It freaks me out. And when I first tried to like create a new audience from nothing, I was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations for people when they first begin to set and create these audiences?
Yeah. So a mentor once told me, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. So you want to break it down into smaller chunks. I think what works great for Facebook is to give yourself some limits, some limitations, right? So that's the first place to start is, you know, if everybody is your target, then nobody's your target. So think about an event or think about a very specific offer that you want to run and think about, you know, who's the best fit for that. So I think a great example is, you know, something targeting new moms, right? So there's kind of like a community aspect to that. There's like a we're all in this together aspect to that. So right there, what have you done? Well, if you eliminated 50% of the population, like you're talking about moms, you can probably start to hone in on age. Right? Because, you know, in most cases, we're talking probably 20s and maybe to the mid 30s or upper 30s. And what's cool about Facebook is now you can really go nuts with some of the targeting options they have. There's actually a category where you can say, I only want to show my ad to women between these ages who are moms of young kids. So you can estimate, and they probably recently had a baby within the last year. And so that's a great way to just start specific with your offering and then kind of reverse engineer the people you'd want to reach. Because then it's just obvious to you. When you're coming in, you know who you want to reach. It's just obvious. You can start to pick and choose from the poo-poo platter of Facebook audience targeting at that point.
And I think in a broader sense of the word, in you know broader marketing, one thing that I'm beginning to learn is that the more hyper-specific you can get with your audience and your offer, probably the cheaper that advertising is going to be because it's so hyper-focused. And, you know, in the sense of AdWords, there's not a ton of competition for a super specific audience. And B, I feel like it gets a lot more attention. It gets a lot more shares. It gets a lot more, me identifying with that thing.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, you would speak to every person specifically, like, you, Matt Scanlon, you know, you are perfect for this gym. And, you know, the funny thing is we're getting close to that. And Facebook, with a billion users and with all the data that they have, both online and offline about us, allow us to get very specific and to speak that clear message. So yeah, just as a general rule of thumb, they call it niching down. You want to get as specific as you can. And the more specific and the more choosy you are with who you're trying to reach, the more specific you can speak to them, and, you know, the better response you're going to get.
So this may be like a chicken or the egg thing, Josh, but I've had a lot of luck using – so there's this thing. You may need to explain the more technical aspects of it, but I know that you can create an audience from like a CSV file of leads, of email addresses, and you just upload that thing into your ads manager, and you can then create lookalike audiences from there. Those audiences are, frankly, the easiest to create because it's you upload a file, and I've had the best luck through using those audiences because the email addresses in there that you upload are existing customers. Will you kind of explain that function a little bit to us?
Yeah, it's a very powerful and disruptive feature for the advertising world. So let's take a real life example first. Like, if you were to do without the technology what you're describing, it would look like this. You'd look at the roster that you have at your gym, and you try to think through what are all the connections that these people share. They're all men, or they're all women, or they're all this age, or they all like quinoa. I don't know, like whatever it is, you're going to be limited as a gym owner as to figuring out what those connections are between people. But Facebook is basically just an army of robots in the background who are making those connections for you. And so they're able to look at a much broader set of data on the people that you have in your gym and figure out what those connections are. What do they all share in common? And then what they do is they say, okay, based on what we know about all these people and what they share in common, we're going to go out, we're going to find as many people that fit that bill as possible. And so that's the lookalike list. That's you taking 100 or a couple hundred email addresses from people who have, you know, even if they're not members, they've showed interest in your gym, they've responded to your ads in the past. And then you give that to Facebook, and Facebook goes, finds those people on Facebook. So there's this matching process where they're like, they're going to take an email address or they're going to take a phone number and find those people on Facebook, and then go out and try to find new people who fit that description that you can then advertise to. So yeah, very powerful, very technologically advanced, but also very simple in what they're trying to accomplish.
And I think that that's one of the strategic advantages that gym owners have is that, you know, if you have electronic waiver, you have member management software, if you've been open for 5 years, you have 5 years worth of emails of people that have joined your gym, dropped in. Like, these are not new things that you need to go out and create. You simply just export them out of, you know, Front Desk or Wattify or whatever software you're using, and then just upload them right on up to Facebook. It's stupid simple, and I highly recommend it for that audience creation because it's built in. You know, probably unlike a tech company that doesn't have any customers yet, they probably don't, you know, a tech company that you work with maybe may not have 500 email addresses of people that have bought their product. And this is an advantage I feel like we have.
Huge advantage, huge. And I think one thing to add to that is you start with that lookalike list. You start with asking Facebook to find people who meet this description, but then you can layer on top of that. So in truth, like if you did what we just described, you'd get in the US about 2 million or 1.9 million people who would come back as potential matches. But you're not trying to reach that many people. So then you can layer on, only find these types of people in my backyard, or only find these types of people who also meet this other criteria. And you can niche down like we were describing before.
That's cool, man. So let's talk about timing for ads. Are there best practices for what time you post certain things? I know in the ads manager, you have the option to have Facebook automatically choose when they serve them up. Is your recommendation to take Facebook's advice or to set your own time to serve these ads up?
Yeah, hands down, in the beginning, I recommend taking that automatic placement for Facebook or automatic delivery option for Facebook, because what you want to do, especially early on, is cast a wider net. And so let Facebook optimize for those things. They're better at it anyways than you as a human who's not glued to your computer all day. I mean, you got to go in and do burpees at some point. So like you're going to be taking your eye off the ball. So I would say let Facebook run it. There's also another timing aspect at play here, which is a lot of times people will have like a start and end date to their campaign. And that's something that I usually don't recommend. It might come as counterintuitive, but I don't recommend doing a start and end date for your campaign unless it's just like for the holidays or there's some time sensitive thing that's governing why you would do that. And the reason is this, is because, you know, frankly, like sometimes a campaign, it's just not working. And if you commit to run it for 10, 15, 25 days, just because you selected that option, you're just wasting money because it's not working. But if you, on the other hand, if a campaign is crushing it for you, why would you want it to end after 25 days because you set that arbitrary limit? So it works both ways. I recommend that new advertisers start just doing continuous campaigns. So you would select continuous for your kind of budgeting option and just set your daily budget for whatever you're comfortable spending. And then that way you can manage it and be a little bit more flexible and agile to respond or kill the campaign if it's not going to work for you.
I like that. So now I want to talk about placement of these ads, because these are other options that come up for new advertisers. You're given things like partner network, a desktop news feed. You got the, you know, right-hand column on Facebook, mobile news feed, and now Instagram is an option where you can create one ad and have it be served up in Facebook and in Instagram. What is your recommendations, or what are your recommendations as far as placement and whether or not I should create a different ad set for Instagram than I have for Facebook only?
Man, such a good question. It's let me start by saying in a world of infinite resources and budget, you would do them all and test, right? You would test what's going to work for you. But because we're not in that situation, I would say right off the bat, kill the audience network. Really what's happening there is that Facebook has joined arms with a lot of mobile apps. You know, you got people playing some game, Clash of Clans, or some, you know, they're in a weight loss app, and then your little banner ad is going to come up. So we find that those aren't great for acquisition campaigns, trying to get leads. They can be good for getting really cheap eyeballs if you're running a large scale, if you're Uber and you're running a large scale awareness campaign. You want to have people know who you are. So I would kill the audience network right off the bat. It's going to probably waste a lot of money for you. And then from there, I would say, think about running both desktop and mobile. I know a lot of people, when they start advertising with Facebook, are worried about going to mobile because they're like, yeah, but nobody's going to want to fill out a form on their device. The thing about mobile is that we see about 7 to 1 of the traffic from Facebook coming from mobile devices. Just think about when you're using Facebook, 9 times out of 10, it's probably on your phone. You're probably just scrolling through your newsfeed and you're seeing what's up. So certainly don't eliminate mobile. And I would test desktop versus mobile. Mobile is going to be cheaper just because there's a supply and demand principle at work. So you're going to get more traffic for less from mobile, but see how those two convert. See how they both perform in terms of giving you leads. So desktop, yes. I would say mobile, big yes. Now the right rail placement, that tends to be cheaper, but less click-through. So if you're trying to figure out quickly if a campaign is going to work for you, it's probably not the best option. But there's kind of a different, more advanced strategy for how we might use the right rail. So I'd say maybe just leave it out, test desktop and mobile. And now there's Instagram, right? So Instagram is its own kind of beast. I love advertising on Instagram because a lot of people think it's not going to work for their business. And so that's where I want to be. Like if they're not going to take advantage of it, let's figure out how to do it. But if you use Instagram, you know that it's a highly visual platform, right? So whatever you use there, it should be stunning. It should be beautiful. It should be something that people would look at anyways, even if they were following you in your feed. And that's what we've seen work really well on Instagram. It's just, so you may want to treat Instagram with its own ad set just so that you can source the creative or the images that could perform well there. But if you're going to use that same stuff on Facebook, then just, you can do it all in one fall swoop and just kind of measure separately how they're all working.
I just thought of a couple personal experiences with the things that you're saying. There was one time I was at home. It was really late at night, and I was using my MyFitnessPal app to track my food for the day. I was getting ready for bed, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot to put my dinner in there. And so I pull it up, and at the bottom, I see a little ad for my gym. And I was like, what? I was like, who put this here? And I couldn't figure it out. And I realized that I was like, early on, I was just like, yeah, hey, put the ad everywhere. And I had Facebook open and in one browser, you know, session, and then had opened up MyFitnessPal in the same session. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and turn that off because I don't know that this is, I don't want to be paying for this right now.
Yeah. You know, when you're harassing yourself with your own campaign, that you're not headed for success.
Like, who is this jerk, man? This is annoying. I'm just trying to put this quinoa salad into MyFitnessPal. Secondly, I'll tell you, also from personal experience, I had a lot of luck with Instagram advertising recently through going into on the Hub platform. There are a lot of stock images that are for members completely free to use, and the images are really cool looking. They're like inside the gym. They are pictures of people of all shapes and sizes doing all sorts of cool things. The colors and sharpness and contrast, they're just like, you look at them and you're like, wow, if I took that picture, I would put that on Instagram. And so I actually use those pictures to get people to come out to a fundraising event that I had, and by far had a way more response on Instagram with those images than I did on Facebook by advertising the event itself, and really kind of opened my eyes with, like you were saying, using things that people would look at and like otherwise on Instagram for advertising. It was really successful.
It's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's great that you have a source for that too. That can be the hardest step, is to get that great creative. So it's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, unless you have like a, you know, 14-year-old girl in your gym that like knows how to take like Ansel Adams quality pictures on an iPhone, you know, chances are you probably don't have an eye for those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about wrapping this up. I want to talk about the difference between using Facebook and Instagram advertising for your members and for prospects or leads. You had mentioned earlier on in the interview, Josh, that, you know, you should not be boosting your workout of the day. I'm of the opinion is that you shouldn't even be posting your workout of the day, because nobody cares but your members. And I know from experience, I can put the workout of the day through like 8 layers of clicking on my website, and every single member will go through those 8 layers every night. So I don't really need to serve it up on a silver platter for them. So speak to a little bit about either paid Facebook or, you know, organic Facebook for members and prospects, and how we should begin to think about these two different groups of people.
Yeah, so I would definitely make a distinction between members and prospects. So when we think about prospects, we're thinking about, how do we move them to the next step? How do we get those people to finally walk in the door? And the beauty of, you know, using maybe a paid option on Facebook versus organic is that organic, maybe they're not following your page, and or they haven't liked your page. And even if they are, there's a chance that they're not going to see it. So what you can do with Facebook is you can take that person's email address, phone number, or both, create what's called a custom audience. And basically, you're able just to, remember we described before how Facebook goes out, finds those people on Facebook? Well, you can have a bucket just for your prospects, the people that haven't become members yet, but they have opted in as a lead. And you can give them a very specific message that would bring them to the next step. So it's not the same message that might be used generally just to generate leads in the first place. It's certainly not the same message that you'd give to members, but you can isolate those people and give them a very specific offer that would get them to bite. Now, for members, I think that there's also a role potentially for paid Facebook. I'm huge on email for people who are already kind of in your in your group because it's free and it's very direct. And email still has great open rates. But one advantage you might want to use is if you wanted to have those people share something for you on Facebook, you could target those members with the ad and kind of maybe prep them ahead of time and say, hey, I'd love for you to share this thing when you see it. And then inevitably they're going to see it on their newsfeed. So that's a way that you can, you know, maybe get some quick amplification of something you're trying to get out there, and they can comment on it. They can tag people, they can share. And that could be a good strategy for using it to engage your current members.
And it works really well. I found for, you know, let's say blog content that you would like to go, you know, viral, for lack of a better term, you know, and for us, for like kind of the small business gym people, if 10 people share a blog post, that's certainly considered, you know, viral in our world. 3,000 people seeing something and going to our website is certainly pretty impactful for us. So I found that using your members that way is wildly effective.
Absolutely.
So, Josh, I want to leave everybody with a couple steps here, and I want to empower people to be able to spend money on Facebook confidently. You know, I know there are a lot of things that we've talked about where people are paying a ton of money for a lead, and I'm a big advocate of people dipping their toes in the water themselves first and getting an idea of how these things work. So, Josh, let's just say audiences. Will you give us just like, you know, 3 steps this week that the gym owner can go about creating a good audience?
Sure. Yeah. So let's start with this. Let's think of an offer. You have to think of something that people can take action on, right? So you have that first. You probably already, if you're a 3-2-1 go listener and you've been a part of the content there, you probably already have that. So Matt, like, what is one that you have running right now?
Yeah. So I've got my 30-day at home workout and diet plan. You go through.
Perfect.
Yep.
So you have
name, email address, download it. It gets shot over to your inbox.
That's awesome. So you have your lead magnet, you have something that people can opt into in exchange for giving their information. So have that set up first. And then, you know, depending on what that offer is, it might be different for different people. But what I would love to see you do is think about the ideal people in your gym. So think about the last 3, 5, 10 people who came on board to your gym. Or if you don't have that yet, you're a new gym, think about the ideal person that you want to have walk through your door. So for audience, start with something like weight loss. Like, it's a huge category on Facebook where people are actively searching, clicking on content for how to lose weight. So that's a motivated person who wants to see a change in their life. So you, maybe in the show notes, Matt, or something else, we can give people the details of how to get here. But I would say choose some general demographics. You know, make maybe an ad set for women, one for men. Choose your age range, and then choose something like weight loss in the interest category. Just start with that. You have somebody who's motivated to lose weight, and they're in your backyard. I think I failed to mention that, but it goes without saying. Don't advertise to somebody in Indiana if you live in Boston. You can set a perimeter of where you want to advertise. And I would say keep it within 10 miles of your gym and then go with it. Just test, experiment, be a scientist. Go out there and see kind of what works and what doesn't work. And it's probably a good starting point for people to do this week, though.
I like it. So, and would you recommend, is it reasonable to say $5 a day for 30 days, see what happens?
Yeah, I would say start with $5 because you're really limiting it to a tight geographical area. $5 should give you plenty of impressions, plenty of people to see your ad. One thing I want to warn people about, though, is that if you see something working, don't take that $5 spend and jack it up to like $50. Facebook doesn't really respond that well to, you know, 10xing your budget in one day. They're not able to find an equal amount of people that could respond to your ad. So that's a quick way to lose money. So just do it in small increments if you do raise the budgets.
Sounds like blackjack. You know, you 10x your bet on blackjack. They're going to know you're counting cards.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want you getting busted for counting cards.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Josh, thanks for a third episode. And what I would say is probably our best yet. I love giving gym owners something tangible that empowers them to approach these technical things that may be a bit outside of our lane. And Josh, you always do an incredible job communicating these things. So if you want to keep up with Josh, I'll put you're at Josh Sturgeon on Twitter. You can follow Ember Tribe. I'll link to Ember Tribe's website there. And honestly, you should be on the Hub platform and taking Josh's SEO course. Speaking of return on investment, the return on investment for ranking higher in Google, it will be tremendous for you. So get in there, go through Josh's courses. He is great at communicating these technical, complex, scary things to first-timers. And so, Josh Sturgeon, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate it.
Right now, stop what you're doing. Head over to gymownersgrowthsummit.com, brought to you by Affiliate Guard and the rest of our amazing sponsors, and register for this event, September 27th to the 29th, the first of its kind in our industry. We're going to put on a three-day event. The speakers include Ben Bergeron, Carl Paoli, Chris Spieler, CJ Martin from Invictus. We've got members of our own team talking about Facebook ads, search engine optimization, running a business. We have Hobie Darling as a guest speaker, Jason Kalipa, John Briggs from Insight Tax. We've got Julie Fouché. The list is incredible. Head over to gymownersgrowthsummit.com right now. Reserve your spot in the summit. If you're interested in sponsoring this year's summit, just head over to gymownersgrowthsummit.com, tab over to partner opportunities, and we'll get you all squared away. Again, the speaker list is incredible. You don't want to miss it. Block it off in your calendar right now. It's September 27th to the 29th, gymownersgrowthsummit.com.